Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. Amen. Friends, we as a people are in the in-between time between death and resurrection. Sometimes, even though Easter comes, some of us remain in Good Friday. And so tonight, on this holiest of nights, when we hear the long story of our faith, we are called, we are meant to find ourselves within it. Did you hear yourself in creation, in deliverance, or in the valley of the dry bones? This Lenten journey has been one of deep grief and sadness, not just for me, but for many of us. I frankly found myself comforted by the traditions and the theology of the season. And so as the day of resurrection approaches, to be honest, I find myself still in Good Friday. And I wonder to myself, after all of the season, after all that it has brought me, all that it has brought us, what can I possibly say to you, this congregation, about resurrection? And so this is what God has put on my heart to say and to do tonight. Know this. Wherever you find yourself, this holiest of nights, God is there with you. And so am I. And so is this body of Christ that we call grace. Wherever you find yourself, you are not alone. And thank God, neither am I. Sometimes a leader has to know when they need support. Sometimes a leader has to know when they need support. Sometimes I am discovering it takes a village to witness resurrection. So my sermon to you tonight is this: while I have many things to say about resurrection, I am finding myself on this night that I simply don't have the strength to say them. I am still in Good Friday, and I need to remain there a little bit longer. This is my sermon for you. Be where you are. Let people help you. You are not alone. And I want to thank Guy Sales now for a reflection and testimony to resurrection.
Thank you, Millie, especially for your wise and faithful priesting of us. Holy Saturday does suspend us between Jesus' cry of dereliction on Friday afternoon, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the angel's astonishing announcement at dawn on Sunday, he is not here, he is risen. We're pushed by anguish and pulled by alleluia, dashed by despair and drawn by hope, lacerated by fear and lured by love. Tonight, some of us are more aware of the pain of what has been and is than of the promise of what will be. As Millie has assured us, wherever we are not alone. We are with each other, and we are with Jesus. What's more, we don't have to hustle or hurry to Easter. There's no deadline for us to meet. God has all of eternity. And because God does, and because God's love for us is also unending, there is always time for us. Even if for reasons that interfere with God's dreams for us, and the rest of our days prove to be Good Friday days, God will at last and forever bring us to Easter. From sundown on Friday to sometime past sundown on Saturday, Jesus' battered and breathless body lay in the stagnant air of nothingness. Despite the bright Passover moon which shone on the other side of the tomb ceiling stone, inside there was no light, there was no life. Somehow, that's the best I've got, somehow, in ways beyond imagination's reach, the life began to stir in Jesus' body. Wounds ceased to seep, though scars remained and remain. Stiff muscles limbered, bones mended. There were sudden, sharp intakes of air, hacking and gasping, and then a rhythm of regular breathing. Jesus pushed aside the wrapping claws, ran his pierced hands through his matted hair, placed his feet on the ground, and slowly, shakily stood. He laughed long and loud, and tears flowed. He shouted and sang both grief and gladness. And of course, I should say maybe before every one of those sentences. I don't know what happened. I can't. Somehow, though, the tomb's seal was broken and light shone in. Fresh air rushed in and carried out the acrid odors of dried blood and caked sweat and sour wine. Despair's fortress cracked and hope snuck in. Mercy won out over judgment. Forsakenness was forsaken. Death died. Love drove out fear. This work of resurrection is God's work, and it is God's gift. Once the work is underway in us and among us, we participate in it. Once the gift is given, we enjoy it and share it. But it is God's work and God's gift. We cannot make resurrection happen. It is not. It cannot be a self-help project. After all, the dead can do nothing but be dead. They cannot join a support group for survivors. They're not survivors. They can't practice seven habits of fully alive people. They can't work 12 steps toward recovery. They're dead. In Ephesians, one of the New Testament letters linked with Paul, we find these words: "You were dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." you were dead. We all know what it's like to be dead, even when we continue to exist, don't we? Life is not the same as mere existence. Respiration is not inspiration. And sight is not insight, and hearing is not discernment. Life is connection, community, and love. It's passion, purpose, and growth. But tragically, we can feel abjectly lonely even when surrounded by people. Afraid when apparently secure, and desperate even when we can't explain why we're desperate to ourselves or to anyone else. So some of us, at least sometimes, know what it's like to be among the walking dead, making a home that isn't home in something like a tomb. You were dead, but God. You were dead, but God. Resurrection is God's gift to the dead and from the dead. Death isn't a barrier to God's life-restoring, grace-giving, mercy-showing, freedom-granting, hope-rebuilding, and joy-renewing work. God takes our dead selves and makes them alive together with Jesus. We'll soon hear words from Romans 6 that tell us that baptism joins us to the death of Jesus so that we might share his new, radiant, abundant, and endless life. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, the glory of the Holy One, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Jesus in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. As with Jesus, so with us. And since God found Jesus in the grave, God can find us anywhere. The tomb is not our permanent address. A few weeks ago, hiking late in the day near Hot Springs, I got lost. Not just temporarily disoriented or detoured, I got utterly and completely lost. I was alone, and I hadn't told anybody about my plans. It was an area I knew so well, I didn't take a trail map or download one of those apps on my phone. I planned to hike for about an hour and a half, so I didn't take any water along or food either. It was a cool day. The night was forecast to be cold and for there to be high winds, but I had enough clothes to stay warm during the daylight. After I'd been walking a while, I realized I didn't recognize a thing. I didn't know where I was. The trail markers had disappeared, or more likely, I had missed them. Feeling increasingly anxious, I tried to shortcut my way to a more familiar place. I left the Forest Service road that I had stumbled on, a road I'd never been on before, and hiked down and up ridges, sometimes falling down and crawling up. I texted Anita to let her know I was hiking. Told her I was fine, and said that I was a bit turned around and that she should probably eat dinner without me. Well, that was the first of many texts I sent trying to reassure her and myself that I wasn't as lost as I knew I was. I kept moving. The dark crept in. The winds picked up and howled through the hills. Just before the darkness completely displaced the light. I admitted to myself what I already knew. I was lost. I mean, really lost. And in trouble. About 8 o'clock, I called 911. The people who volunteer with the Madison County Fire Department and the Emergency Medical Service and the folks with the Forest Service couldn't have been more gracious and compassionate. And so they combined their local knowledge and GPS tracking devices and a drone in the sky, and they set about to find me. It took nearly 3 hours. That's how lost I was. I repeatedly asked them when we would communicate by text or by phone what I could do to help them rescue me. And they said, nothing. You can't help us rescue you. I had to stay still, they said. I sat and stood against that same tree near a ridgetop, trying not to panic, to pray instead, to stay warm, and to listen for the horns and sirens they said they'd sound when they got near to where they thought I was. I walked tight circles around that tree, jogged in place, stretched to try to stave off the cold. I was dehydrated, being lost. Slowly became all I could think about. The stars were stunningly beautiful, but their beauty only partially registered with me, because the lights I wanted to see, the lights I needed to see, were the flashlights and searchlights of my rescuers. About 10:45, I heard a siren and then a horn. I texted the officer in charge to let him know they must be close by. Then I saw a flashlight across the way atop another ridge, and then another, and then another. And I switched on my cell phone light and waved it above my head in circles. And then I heard voices call my name. Guy? Guy? And I shouted. Well, really, what I did was holler. I bellowed and hollered back, I'm here. I'm over here. And I felt hot tears in my eyes. I took some deep breaths for the first time in hours. Soon, one of the volunteers was at my side. We walked back to his truck. It was parked in a field not too far away. A couple of other volunteers scooted over and made room for me in the back seat. They gave me a bottle of water and set the truck heater to high. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I apologized over and over again. And they didn't shame me or scold me at all. They had every right and opportunity, and they didn't. They said, it happens more often than you think. We were just getting worried about you. We're glad you're okay. Lost is not quite dead, I know. But that night it felt unsettlingly close. I was lost, alone, and helpless to do anything but stay still and wait. Wait for help I could not provide for myself. I didn't have the light or the warmth or the food or the drink I needed to survive. I needed to be rescued, just as some of us need to be resurrected. So maybe you're in the dark and it's cold. Maybe you're hungry for love and thirsty for joy. Maybe you feel alone and helpless. And because of Jesus, I trust that God is calling your name and you will hear it. I trust that God is shining light in the shadows and you will see it. lost will become found. Death will become alive. Good Friday will become Easter. Amen.